Well, good morning, church. Welcome. It's almost too warm in here. We're going to have people falling asleep. Well, this morning I would like to just speak a little bit further on something that I had started kind of to teach last week. We touched on it, and this week it's just a continuation. You know, he begins to work with me on different scriptures, and as my focus goes there, he begins to show me things. But this morning, I'm going to just bring out a truth from God's word that all of us already have heard many, many, many times. But I want us to listen with an open heart again today, because obviously we can always be learning more. We can always, you know, and sometimes we know a truth. It's like a vaccination. You know, I say that we have just enough of it, but we don't get the real thing. And so I want us to listen again attentively to God's word this morning, because we're going to be going through quite a few scriptures. And I want us to get a bigger understanding of this one truth from God's word, which is so amazing. And I think that's why we push it away, because it's just very simple. It's a very simple truth, but yet so very powerful. But how many of us know all of God's ways are simple and powerful? God's ways are not hard. They're very simple. And it's man who makes them hard. You know, it takes a man to mess it up. It takes a man to take something that's so simple and make it difficult. We add to it, we take away from it, and you know, and then that causes us to do nothing but doubt. Amen. You know, it's like the manna. When God first started raining down manna in the wilderness for the children of Israel, well, what did they end up doing with it? They ended up beating it, crushing it, grinding it, baking it. They were trying to, it was just too, they just weren't satisfied to just pick it up off the ground and eat it as it was. And they began to change it. In the end, it said its color was like bdellium, which is kind of a grayish color. But when the manna first came down, when it was fresh, it was white. It was white in color. But by the time they were done with it, the white was gone and it was gray. And it tasted, the Bible says, like tasteless. It tasted like oil, fresh oil. Well, we know that fresh oil is absolutely tasteless. There's no taste to it. If you had to live on fresh oil, I don't think that we would enjoy eating all that much. And so by the time they were done with it, it did not satisfy their taste. There was nothing left of it. And that seems to be a lot of the times what we do with God's word, something that's so beautiful, so pure, so simple. We take it and we beat it up, we add to it, we take away from it, that by the time we're done with it, it's tasteless. It's powerless. And one of those things, there is a truth in God's word that I believe sometimes, this one especially, we've done that with. Last week we read from John chapter 14, where Jesus, who was speaking with his disciples just before his departure, before he went to the cross, actually, and his departure. And he says in verses 13 and 14. Now, remember last week we were talking about peace and having peace and why we can have peace. And we saw some of the things that Jesus spoke unto his disciples. I am speaking these things to you, that in me you may have peace. So what he spoke to his disciples prior to his departure was what was supposed to bring them peace in their lives. So we looked at a few of those things. But one of the things that he has said, and I think the key thing and the main thing he said, was said in verse 13 and 14 of John chapter 14, where he said, "And whatsoever you will ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father might be glorified in the Son. If you will ask anything in my name, I will do it." Think about that. Meditate on that. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. He didn't say, "I'm going to think about it. I might do it. You know, maybe if it's my will." No, he said, "I will do it." Now, how does that bring us peace? If you ask anything in his name, he will do it. Duh. Doesn't that bring us peace? It ought to. If it doesn't bring you peace, then you didn't get it. You still don't understand what he was saying. And then again in chapter 16 of the same gospel, Jesus repeats himself again. In verse 23, he says, "And in that day you will ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say to you, or unto you, whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you." Verily, verily. Anybody know what verily, verily means? You can't get a higher assurance. Absolutely, positively. I am telling you that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Wow. Don't you think, he's saying this, he's repeating it. And he says it in different ways in the gospel, or in the chapter 15, where he talks about, if my word abide in you and you abide in me, ask what you will and it will be done for you. He continues to say that, that whatever you ask will be given to you. Up until now, verse 24 of chapter 16, he says, up until now, you've asked me nothing in my name. Ask. I think the original says, ask and keep on asking, and you will receive, that your joy may be made full. Jesus cares about whether we have joy in this life. And you know, I don't know if it can get any simpler than this. He's giving us instructions on how to remain in peace and how to remain at rest and have a life of enjoyment, have an abundance of life. It can't get any easier than this. And yet, as I was pondering this, I was thinking to myself, how many requests have you made and have I made in that name and did not receive what I asked? I don't know about you, but I have quite a list of them. How many requests did we make in that name and seemingly didn't receive? Why? Well, you know, first of all, the book of James tells us in chapter 1, verse 6, that when we ask, we must ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavers is like a wave of the sea. He is driven with the wind and he's tossed. Let not that man think that he will receive anything of the Lord. He is unstable in all of his ways. In other words, when you are driven and tossed, you're unstable, you're not steady, you're unwavering in your faith. Now, we know that the waves represent something, the wind represents something. And we're not going to get into that this morning because I want to key in on asking in his name. We also see in Mark chapter 16, verse 17. So first of all, we need to ask in faith. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Are you a believer today? Do these signs follow you? Come on, we're going to get real with ourselves. Do these signs follow us who believe? In my name, you will cast out demons. You will speak with new tongues. You will take up serpents. And even if you drink anything deadly, it will not hurt you. You will lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. How many in here have ever laid hands on the sick, and the sick did not recover? Yeah, me too. Lots of times. So why? What's going on? Is God's word not true? Am I the only one that thinks about these things and I want answers? And my mind keeps going back to them. Why? And then again in Acts chapter 3, verse 6, Now remember, we're talking about asking in the name of Jesus. Then again in Acts chapter 3, verse 6, Peter and John, when they encounter, remember, the lame man at the gate, beautiful, at the gate of the temple, actually. And this lame man who was laying there asking for alms from people who would go by, he looked at James and John expectantly, expecting some money. And Peter said, "Silver and gold, we don't have any, but such as I have, give I unto you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And of course, we know that the man, he stretched forth his hand, and immediately the man leaped up, walking, praising God, dancing, danced all the way into the temple. And so we also know that the people who saw this, of course, they came running at not so much at the lame man, but at John and Peter, just wondering, marveling, what kind of power have these guys got? And, of course, as the people came to them in amazement, Peter and John, or Peter especially, immediately calmed the people, and he stood up and said in verse 16, "And his name, through faith in this name, has made this man strong in the presence of you all." In other words, that wasn't us. It was the name that made the man strong. Faith in the name. And you know, God could not have made it any easier for us. He didn't give us a list. If you do this, that, and this and that, and then do that and do that some more, then I'll hear your prayer and answer you. No, he said, if you ask in that name, I will do it. It is so simple, so easy. And I think that's the problem. We fail to receive many things because I believe part of the problem is it's just too easy. It's too easy. And we're a very educated. That's for children. That's why God said, unless you come as a little child, you won't receive anything. It's just too, imagine for one moment, can I just play with your imagination? That whatever you asked, you received anything. Oh my goodness, we can't even imagine how we would be living. Let's play a game. Let's use our imagination for just a moment. How would you live? What would you do if everything you asked, you received? We can't even imagine it in our minds. But that's what the Bible tells us. This isn't my words. I am not taking this out of context. I don't know how you can take this out of context. Well, you know, it's got to be according to God's will. What is God's will? It tells us over and over that you believe on the name of the Son of God. You believe on God and him whom he has sent, who is Jesus. What must I do, Master, to be saved? Believe on the name of the Son of God. It's so simple. But we've made it so difficult to receive from God. Somehow we have, as ministers, sometimes given the idea, and as sheep, we've gotten the idea that the more effort we put into it, into our asking or our trying to believe, the more faith we have, the more confident we are. If we spend a lot of time in prayer over a certain request, then we have this funny idea that that request has a much better chance of being granted. Oh, I got to pray about it. I need to pray. That's why we're not good when something happens to us unexpectedly and we need to pray now. It's like, I haven't had a chance to pray about this. That's going to kind of somehow stir up the faith. Faith doesn't come by prayers. And your prayers don't move God. God's already moved. Faith takes what God has already done. And we need to shoot some of these holy cows. We need to bring them down and be able to realize that the name of Jesus is at our disposal, whether we've prayed or not prayed, whether we feel emotionally charged and strong or whether we feel like we're dying and we're weak. That name is always ready, full of power, ready to deliver. So we have this funny idea that, you know, we have more confidence that God will hear me when I put more effort into my prayers and into my meditation and whatever it is that we do. Why? Because we feel like then we've been really sincere. It's like God requires more of us, our sincerity. Come on. I get it. Been there, done that so many times. That if I haven't prayed about a certain thing to a level of where I felt ready to let it go, I couldn't have the faith to walk in it. But that's not God, and that's not his ways. God's ways are easy. So easy that we miss them. And maybe it just seems just too simple to just simply ask and receive. But I want to tell you something. It wasn't easy for Jesus. It might be easy for us. God has made it easy. But it wasn't easy for Jesus. And when you understand that, that's the reason it's easy for us. Is because of what he did. We will never know, like this morning we sang in that song, the depths of his suffering, the depths that Jesus had to go to suffer on our behalf. It was not easy. He had to suffer all of our bad, all of our punishment for the sins that we committed. Why? So that we could freely receive all his good things. And if it's free, then it's simple. If something is free, it's simple. There is no hoops you got to jump through. You just simply have to go. I mean, if they're giving out something free in a store that you're shopping at, and they, over the loudspeaker, they say, all customers, if you are in the store from the hour from 2 to 3, there is free whatever given out. Just come down to the desk and receive your gift. Now, you're not going to, I mean, you just simply go down, you hold out your hand as you line up, and you get your free gift. Nothing hard about it. It's free. But Jesus paid dearly for that, so that we could have all things given to us freely. And our Heavenly Father knows that. He's not looking at us and saying, oh, you just don't appreciate it. You know how sometimes with our own kids we give them that idea? Nothing's, you know, kids get the idea that they got to work in order to earn our favor and our blessings. And if they don't, but how do they get that idea? Where do they get it from? From us. Because that's the mentality we're raised in. And it's so powerful how it keeps you in bondage over the years. We were talking about that yesterday, Cameron and I, about a generation ago when we were growing up and were young teenagers. It wasn't common in our area for males or guys to wear shorts. In fact, there's still some guys today that have never had on a pair of shorts because it just was not, just wasn't the thing men did. And I was laughing. I said to Cameron, you know, I still know people that are younger than us and kind of in that generation that I have never seen a pair of shorts on. And Cam was one of them. And he five years ago decided to buy himself a pair of shorts. Now he lives in shorts. But I'm using that as a silly analogy, but just to show us how the concepts that stay in our minds, the understandings and the things that we see as we grow up, and we carry them with us into adulthood. And so children are being shaped by their parents as to how to please, and you know, and we lump God into that. And so we think that somehow this free stuff, no, we gotta earn it. We gotta show God that we are deserving, even if it's by our faith. Do you understand? So now faith becomes a work. See God, the great faith I have. So it's like, even if we think it, we know and understand it's by faith, then we take the reading of the word or the confession of the word and all of that to try to prove to our Heavenly Father that we have faith. Come on. And faith becomes a work and an effort on your part. Faith is effortless. If it isn't effortless, it's not real faith. Faith is not stirring yourself up, trying to believe something. So God freely gave us His Son. Romans chapter 8 tells us, if God willingly gave up the Son, His Son, Jesus, for us, will He not freely give us all good things? Will He withhold anything from us? He freely, you see, you had nothing to do with any of it. Ever. You're just a recipient. You're just a recipient. Nothing. Nothing is dependent on you except to believe. So God freely gave us His Son so that we could freely receive. God freely gave us His Son to be our substitute in death. It was God who punished all our sins in His Son's body. Did you know that? Can you imagine how hard that would have been? For God to do, God so loved the world, He gave up His Son. And Jesus, on the other hand, the only begotten Son, the Son of His love, the most dearly beloved thing of God, He was obedient to His Father. He humbled Himself. He took it all, even to the death of the cross. Why? So that you and I could freely receive every blessing. Therefore, because Jesus went to the level that He did and stooped so low, the Bible tells us God has highly exalted Him and given Him the name that is above every name. And for us not to believe in that name in the eyes of our Father is a terrible thing, because our God knows what Jesus went through to give us that privilege. God has highly exalted Him, given Him the name that is above every name. And at that name of Jesus, every knee will bow of things in heaven, things on the earth, and even things under the earth. So His name is exalted higher than any other thing that has a name in all of the universe. And every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of the Father God. And our God, our Father, is so pleased with His Son Jesus. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. The word well pleased doesn't cut it. That's the English definition of the Greek. And our English words somehow, in many ways they're lacking. I do believe that our Father God is much more than well pleased with his Son. Even our Father is probably in awe of his Son. And it's all about his Son. It's all about giving glory unto Jesus. And when you come before the Father with a reverence and a respect for the name of his Son or for what Jesus has done, and you lift it up and you say, Father, I am so grateful. I exalt Jesus. I exalt his name. The Father is so pleased because he knows and he alone knows what Jesus did for all of us at the cross. So even when we're down, even when things maybe don't look like they're going very well, remember, go before the Father and exalt Jesus and his name. And the Father will eat it up. The Father loves that. The aroma of the name of Jesus, the sweet-smelling aroma of Jesus. Come together in unity with the Father. And that's what communion also is about. You're communing over the Son, over Jesus Christ, and just lifting him up. You know what? Detach yourself from your problems or from the things in your life and just lift up the name of Jesus in reverence and in awe and in glory. There's so much power in that. And God our Father is so pleased with his Son that if anybody, just think of it this way, if anybody would just call on the name of Jesus, instantly they are saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of Jesus is saved. Now we know the word saved is sozo. It's to be safe. It's to be whole, healthy, prosperous. It's much like the word peace. God the Father gave up the most precious thing that he had, his own Son. And he did it because he loved us that much. John 3:16. God so loved the world. We sang it this morning. And we'll never know the depths that he had to go to die for our sin. How deep, how wide is God's love. For God so loved the world, we know this scripture by heart, at least we should, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him would not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth not is condemned, he that believeth is not condemned. If you believe in the Son, if you believe in the name of the Son, you are not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Do you think God gets pleasure when we believe in the name? Oh my goodness. When the name of Jesus, you need to look into the spirit world at that name. All of the elders, the 24 elders that are around the throne, are bowing down and worshiping. Everything bows at the name of Jesus. Paint that picture. Use pictures. And whatever it is you're speaking to, whatever the request is, when you say the name, see that thing bowing. The name reveals or brings life. Speak life. The highest honor that you and I can give God, and the one thing that pleases God more than all things, is to believe in Christ and to believe on his name. That pleases the heart of God more than all things. Everything Jesus is, everything Jesus has, all his power, all his authority, all his life and blessings are released to you and me through the name. It's kind of like the key that we've been given to eternal life. So how much of this life do you want to enjoy? And this name is not just another name. Let's not treat it like, you know, sometimes, that's why I say sometimes we hear it so often. Oh, yes, at the name of Jesus, but do we really know what we're saying? Do we really believe in that name? We can use it like, you know, we just tack it on, just like we do amen. Amen means so be it. But half the time when we say the word, we're not even thinking about what it means. It's just a ritual. Do not use the name of Jesus as a ritual. And many Christians, I'm guilty of it. I'm not going to say I'm not. Sometimes we just speak in the name of Jesus, and it's more of a ritual. It's just what we say. It's what Christians say. But me and Megan had this conversation the other night when we were weeding her garden, and we were talking about the name of Jesus. And I said, you know, isn't it strange? People in the world professing people who say they don't believe in Jesus. Or, you know, they may not believe in God at all. But there are some specifically that might believe in God, but not in Jesus. And yet, when they're in a hard place, or if something has really made them angry, they don't take the name of Buddha in vain, or the name of Allah, or have you ever heard anybody swear with that name? No. It's always Jesus, even those who do not believe or supposedly do not believe. Why is that? The name of Jesus is so powerful, and I believe God has given every man and woman deep down on the inside the understanding and the knowledge that he is God. And that's why when we're in a hard place, that name comes out. Whether we're cussing or whether we're calling and crying out for help. I have never heard anybody cry out Buddha's name. Have you? Well, if I did, I think I'd be very surprised. So you see, the devil wants to desecrate that name. And that's why he has people use it to swear with it. Jesus didn't come to condemn the world. He came to save the world. His name ought to bring life and blessing, not curses. And so you can see the enemy. Why doesn't the enemy use Buddha's name or Allah? Because it's powerless and he knows it. And so he uses the name of Jesus. Come on, we need to get with the program. We, on the flip side, we use the name for life, for victory, for blessing, health, wholeness. We can play his game. We've got the name. The name was given to the church. It's our key. It's something that we use. So everything, all life and blessings that come from God come via, through the name of Jesus. Acts chapter 4, verse 9. And this happened right after the apostles, or that Peter and John had said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto you in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And then, of course, they were brought before the Sanhedrin, the temple, whatever, the high priests. And they wanted to know, how did you do this? In what name or in what, how did you do this? And then Peter again says, if we this day are going to be examined of the good deed done to this man, this impotent man, by what means he is made whole. In other words, how did you do that? Can you just imagine them? What did you do? How did you do this? I don't know what they thought they were going to do with these men, or what they expected them to answer. Peter says, be it known unto you and to all the people of Israel, but by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead and raised him way up, set him up on high, exalted his name above all names, even by him does this man stand here before you whole. By that name. Neither, he goes on to say, is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now this word saved is there again, not just saved from hell. It's healed. It's made prosperous. It's saved. It's saved from the curse. The curse in all forms. There is none other name given among men whereby we can be saved. It's all in the name of Jesus. Psalm 124, verses 6 to 8. Psalm 124, verses 6 to 8. Blessed be the Lord God, who has not given us as a prey to our enemy. Our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowler. The snare is broken, and we are escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Our help is in the name of the Lord. Jesus has given us his name to use, that whatsoever we ask in that name, he could do it. Why? So that our joy might be made full. God wants you to have joy in your life. Enjoy life. And he's made it so easy. If Jesus suffered as he did, and he's giving us all things freely, let's go in to the presence of God and receive what we need freely in his name. When you and I pray and make requests before God, it's his name that gives us the guarantee that we have what we asked. Too many times we get caught up in our faith. Did I believe? Did I have the faith? Did I ask in faith? And then it slips away on us because we're not sure. But you can be sure of the name of Jesus. Is your faith in his name? And so when you pray in Jesus' name, Father, I just thank you for this, or I believe for that. Why do you doubt? When you doubt, are you doubting his name? No, then you're not making the request in his name. Your guarantee is in the name. Not in your ability to pray well or pray long or hard or whatever, or your ability to believe. You see, we question our own faith because we're trying to look inside and see, oh, yes, I have strong faith, or I don't have strong faith. No, put your eyes on his name. Get your guarantee from his name. And so when you do pray, why do you doubt that God didn't answer your prayers? You prayed it in his name. It has nothing to do with you, whether you felt like you had faith or your emotions were high today or low. It's the name. And Jesus' name, when God hears it, we have no idea what it does to the heart of Jesus. But I can tell you from the way he was revealing it in my own heart that it was amazing. And all day I was saying the name of Jesus, giving honor to the name. I sat at the keyboard and I was just worshiping God. And I just kept saying, Father, I honor the name. I honor the name. And the more I said that, the more the presence of God came on me. It was amazing. And I was thinking, wow, God. We look for answers. We try so hard to have faith. But it's just so simple. It's the name. The name. Use the name. God has given that name to us to use. This is the guarantee that we have what we've asked for. Keep your heart on the name. Keep your mind on the name. And sometimes, you know, our faith, we try to get our faith. It's more in our efforts. And it's no wonder we don't receive anything in his name, because our faith is not in the name. It's in our efforts. Whether it's a good effort or I'm not saying not to pray for long periods of time. I'm not saying not to read your Bible or even confess scriptures. That's wonderful. But don't put your faith in your effort in doing those things in order for you to have received what you asked for. No, it's all in the name. All of those things are the fruit of having faith in the name. I don't spend time with God because I'm trying to build up faith or trying to get God to release something or trying to prove to myself that I have faith. You know, we feel good about spending a lot of time in prayer. It makes us feel like, yes, God answered my prayer. But really, your faith is resting in what you just did. What about when you don't have time and there's a crisis? I need to pray about that. I didn't pray, so I don't feel very good about my prayer. Well, it isn't your prayer. It's the name of Jesus. We speak, we pray, we cry before God, trying to convince him that we have much faith by our much speaking, our much effort, instead of just trusting, simply trusting in the name. It's just too easy. But you know, Jesus said, "Come unto me, all of you who are heavy laden, and I will rest you. My yoke is easy." He didn't say it's hard. "And my burden is light." The yoke is the thing that two animals bring together. His yoke is easy because he's pulling it all for us. It's easy. We do nothing. We just receive in his name. Proverbs chapter 18. In closing, we'll just open up to Proverbs 18, verse 10. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 10. The name of the Lord, I'm going to say it again, is a strong tower. The righteous, are we righteous? Yes. Run into it and are safe. Peace I leave unto you. The word peace means safety in mind, body, and estate. When we trust, to run into the name is to trust in that name. It brings wholeness, safety to our mind, our bodies, and our estate, meaning everything around us in that name. Let us not underestimate what God has given us, the name of Jesus. Speak it often. Speak it with joy. Celebrate before God our Father in that name. Lift it up, exalt it. I guarantee you, you will feel the presence of God when you finally understand how precious that name is. And I believe it is the key to having an unwavering faith. Let's get our trust off of us, our efforts, whatever it is we're doing, and let's look at the guarantee that we're given in his name. And whenever we begin to doubt, remind yourself that his name, that your trust is in the name. And of course, God has answered your prayer. Why? Because you asked in that name. And that's all that you need to understand. It's so simple. Don't doubt the name of Jesus. By it we were saved. And by it you will be healed. By the same name you will be delivered. All things come through the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's just pray. Father, we just thank you for your word this morning. And most importantly,